Steve Ballmer has a number of roles that put him at the center of the news right now. He is the former CEO of Microsoft, which is in talks to buy TikTok after President Trump threatened to ban the app. He's the chairman of the Los Angeles Clippers, which are in contention to win the NBA playoffs that just got underway. And he founded the group USA Facts to help make government data more accessible to the public.
I started USA Facts because I wanted to understand by the numbers, because numbers to me tell an accurate story. I wanted to understand what government was doing, where the money was coming from, what it was being spent on, and what kind of outcomes government was getting. And there was no consolidated view.
That was Ballmer speaking with me in May of last year. Now the organization has launched a coronavirus impact and recovery hub to track the pandemic. Steve Ballmer joins me now to talk about that and more. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jeremy. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, we spoke to you last year about USA Facts, and we'll link people to that conversation at hereandnow.org. Right now, there's obviously a big need to track government data because of the coronavirus. What are you seeing in the pandemic data that you've compiled at USA Facts that can't be easily found elsewhere?
Well, you know, there's some very interesting things, particularly as you take a look at issues like, you know, how are the employment statistics varying with the health statistics, for example? But if you take, I'll just give you an example. You know, COVID in Texas, the case rate is high. We'll show you the exact numbers. But if you look at the employment data in Texas, the actual unemployment rates are lower in Texas than they are, say, in New York, where the infection rate is lower, and yet the unemployment rate in New York is amongst the highest in the country and has almost double the number of unemployment cases per citizen as Texas. Interesting to me because it gets at what the relative economic impacts are across the states based upon health policy. If you're taking a look at the new stimulus money that's being discussed, how should that get distributed, if at all, differently to states? I think it's all very interesting.
You're making the connection because perhaps a state that has shut things down more and therefore has a higher unemployment rate actually is doing better when it comes to handling the virus.
You know, it's a set of trade-offs. This is a key thing. It's a set of trade-offs that each state makes. You can take your pain in terms of health and death. You can take pain in terms of unemployment and economy. And we are a nonpartisan body. We're not going to try to tell people what the right trade-offs are. That's kind of up to the individual. But it is interesting to see some of these pieces of information. You can literally say, hey, look, this much death versus this much better situation on the economic and employment front. What do I take as a policymaker? And it's an uncomfortable topic to discuss, but it's essentially something that every governor around the country is doing every day.
One of the things that we've been reporting on over the last couple of months is some of the data that the government has offered on coronavirus, and it's been disappearing from the CDC's website. The Trump administration has been accused of hiding or manipulating information about the pandemic. How are you sure that the data that you're getting is accurate and gives the full picture?
Well, actually, the CDC has been relying on us to some extent for their data, as has the White House Coronavirus Pandemic Task Force. We actually go to get the county level data, county by county by county, and we assemble that into our database. You can see on usafacts.org down to the county level, all of this data. And getting that county level data is actually helpful to the CDC. It's not something that they've been doing, and they've been doing in real time. I don't myself ascribe any malice to what's going on the CDC website at all. But that's because we kind of understand how they've been building that database with good work from organizations like ours and others.
Do you get the sense, or do you find that counties across the country are providing good data? Are they all doing a pretty good job of keeping track of what's going on?
They are doing the best that they can. Their systems weren't all built for this purpose. In some cases, I will tell you, we get the equivalent of spreadsheets. Some of the data we get comes out of sheriff's reports on what are going on in those counties. They're not sort of all well-structured and organized in databases and you know, the kind of thing you would find in a large multinational in terms of reporting and tracking. But I think everybody's making a right-minded effort. But the data is just not going to be as good in the under-automated counties, if you will.
USA Facts is not just following the pandemic. I've been looking at, you've got a look at where all the PPP loan money is going and how much per capita in each state, et cetera. You've also got a voter center for people to track the candidates on the issues. So my question is, you know, a lot of people are not very trusting of facts that don't line up with their opinions. What do you see the role of USA Facts as being in that context?
Yeah, we do a couple different things. Number one, we only use government data and we only use data about history. Now, some people would say, hey, I don't agree with government data. It's just the best we have. And if citizens don't think they can rely on government data, then it's incumbent on us, all of us, including us, to push our government for better, more consistent and more complete data. And we certainly see opportunities to do that. But by and large, we believe that our government statistical agencies have good people who are doing good work. The thing that we don't do with that is try to do forecasts. Forecasts are fundamentally partisan. And I say that only in the sense that for every bright, smart economist that'll say X is going to happen, there'll be another bright, smart economist that'll say not X is going to happen. So we think the thing that citizens need to know and deserve to know is what has happened, which is not partisan, which is not subject to debate, and then people can make their own guesses about where things are moving, where they will go, and what they think should be done. And I think that's fundamental. You know, we still live in this age of, you know, people throwing out words like fake news and alternate facts, mm-hmm. and that's just not okay. It's never been okay. There was a quote early on, I think, from Madison talking about democracy where you can't find out what's going on is essentially a farce. I didn't get the quote precisely right. Moynihan, you know, you're entitled to your own opinions, but not your own facts.
Right.
These things are fundamental to our democracy working, and that's why we're trying to do our best job to put that together in a nonpartisan way.
Okay, well, since you don't do forecasts, let me ask you something about the future anyway, because you were the...
That's fine. It's not a USA Facts position, though, Jeremy.
Okay, good. Well, so you were the CEO of Microsoft for 14 years, and Microsoft's been in the news because it may acquire part of TikTok. What do you think about that idea?
You know, I, as a shareholder, of course, the devil's in the details. What will the price be? It's sounds like kind of a crazy deal, the way it's being split out. So what would that really look like? Is it really a business that Microsoft could take and run with? But the fundamental idea that this company in which I am a shareholder wants to spend some money to essentially guarantee itself a much bigger consumer position, I think that's fundamentally a good idea.
And do you think that if it did that, it would be at risk of renewed antitrust scrutiny, which it has so far avoided in the latest round of investigations into companies like Apple, Google, and Facebook?
Oh, it's hard for me to say. I would find it unlikely, you know, at least on the merits, in the sense that Microsoft has really no position in any consumer internet service. So there's nothing it sort of is building upon that would look like an antitrust problem, a regulatory problem for approval. But, you know, I'm not an antitrust lawyer, but that's my instinct.
Okay, and then let me ask you about one other thing, because you've had an experience as the chairman of the LA Clippers that very few people in the world have had, which is you've been inside the NBA bubble to watch the Clippers play. What was that experience like? And do you think that this is going to be the last season that the play is happening in the bubble, or do you think that it's going to be necessary again next year?
Well, the games are being very well played. And this is not me speaking as a person sitting in the arena, but if you watch on TV or in the arena, you have guys going hard, playing hard. This is tough, you know, sort of first class basketball that folks are getting a chance to see. And if you're in the arena, it's much better than I thought it was going to be. I got to tell you, there's more energy. There's more, little bit of pump and thump because of the announcers and the music and some of those other things. Is it the same for me as going and sitting courtside in Los Angeles? No, it's not. You know, we're sitting way up behind plexiglass, watching down on this arena without fans in it. But it's first-class basketball, and I'm pretty fired up about that.
Are the Clippers going to go all the way? I know you don't do forecasts, but
let's hope so.
On that one, you probably would. So. Right?
I'm pretty pumped up. I'm more pumped up right this minute about that than I even am USAFacts.org. But I'm pretty fired up about that, Jeremy.
That is Steve Ballmer, wearing many hats, chairman of the LA Clippers, former CEO of Microsoft, and founder of USAFacts.org. And we'll link you to that at hereandnow.org. Steve Ballmer, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.